You're listening to the Epic Youth Ministry Podcast. For more awesomeness, visit epicym.org.
How you guys all doing? Oh my gosh, we're not at a funeral, guys. Mike, how you guys doing? There you go. Well, I want to start off, if you guys do not know me, my name's Noah Bradley. I've attended this church for 11 years. First thing I want to tell you guys tonight is my testimony, my story, me. It's my story, what I've gone through. It's a part of me. When Garrett asked me to do this, I was, heck no. No way. It's not happening. And I thought about it. I'm like, you know, part of growing closer in Christ and growing closer in God is prayer and telling people your testimony. Letting them know what you've been through and how God's worked through you. So I was born in Irvine, California. Who knows where that is? Like four people, good job. Geography, guys, geography. I have four full blood siblings. I'm the best looking one, obviously. At the time when I was born, my parents already had three kids. They had my brother Max, my brother Jeremiah, my sister, Rebecca. As far back as I can remember, I spent all my Sundays midweek days in church, learning about God, growing closer in God, but we weren't that church family at home. I kind of relate to John in a way, that we put our church smile on at church, and we go home and we're like, it's bad, it's all bad. I lived in Huntington Beach for 7 years of my life. My dad, at that time, he had a wonderful job making a lot of money, back then even more. He got laid off for a disability, and they decided, well, we're not going to wait for you to get better, so see you later. Have a good life. And then another thing came at us. Our landlord explained to us, well, guys, we're selling this house. You have two options. You can move out or you can buy this house. Well, my dad just lost his house. We obviously can't buy it. He's on unemployment right now. We can kind of rent it, but that buying ain't happening. So, having faith in God, we had nothing to do. We had nowhere to go, but we put all our belongings on a third-story floor of a storage unit, and we packed into a conversion van. Yes, seven people in a conversion van. That don't get along, doesn't work. We trusted in God. This was an endless journey at the time. We did not have a destination. We traveled into different states, into Canada. It's not a state, it's a country, if you guys didn't know that. And on the way, we stayed at friends' houses for wherever we knew that lived there. We stayed at rest stops. We'd find a comfortable position in the van, but it didn't happen. I remember nights where I'd wake up and I could not sleep. I'd be trying to lay in my little brother's car seat. It just wasn't happening. We had canned food because that's all we could afford. We'd eat canned food because we were on the bare minimum for money. We get money along the way of people we stopped at. I ended up laying on that canned food because that's the only comfortable position I could find. It was 40 days of travel, roughly 40 days, 40 long days. We met amazing people on that journey. One person I want to tell you guys about tonight is Peggy Cole. Does anybody know Peggy Cole? Sort of? It's a yes or no question. Peggy Cole lives in Atascadero now. She has Peggy Cole Ministries. And we stopped at this church one day for a service. And she explained to the church that we are traveling, we don't have money, we're on the bare minimum, and we don't really have a destination. Well, that night we got a huge offering. I remember they took all seven of us and sat us on stage, and people just all over were just giving us stuff, giving us money, putting money in our pockets. It was overflowing. We couldn't even fit it in our pockets. And my dad counted up. He's like, I have $900. That's a lot at the time. Some of you may think, it's not a lot. At the time, that was big bucks for us. Well, Peggy offered to us, well, guys, I want you to come stay with me in San Miguel. Who knows where San Miguel is? Please tell me you know where San Miguel is. All right. She offered for us to stay with her in San Miguel. Remember, seven of us, four rowdy boys, and kind of a tomboy. A tom like my sister. She was just like us. She got just along. We got in fights, literally. Fights, guys. So we made our way to the Central Coast, where obviously I've been ever since. The first thing my dad did was look for a job. God blessed him with an amazing job doing what he loved. He worked for KPRL in Paso Robles. That's an AM radio station, talk radio. Well, it came a time where Peggy kind of got rid of us, because I would too if I knew my family. No, it was that time. We got another offer. This girl actually goes to our church. She goes to our youth group. I don't even think she's here tonight. Thank you, Hannah. Hannah Skinner's family offered, guys, we love you guys, and we want you guys to have a place to stay. So, how many people do they have in their family? One, two, three, four. They have five kids. Five plus seven, that's 12 if I did my math right. 12 people in like a three-bedroom house? Never again. Oh, no, it's not the house they have now. It's smaller. My dad finally found a house, praise the Lord. We found a house in Paso Robles. In there, so we moved there. Life was good. We had our arguments. We had our fights, literally like I just explained. But life was good. We were going good. We were being homeschooled. My dad would go to work every day. We were kind of like the perfect white family. I don't know. But not really. We put on that fake smile every day. We put on that fake smile that everything was good. We had it going for us. But no one knew what was going on at home. My parents split up. They always had their fights. Guys, number one reason couples get a divorce today is finances. Really, guys, out of everything, it's finances? That was the same with my parents. Always fight about money. We were fine on money, but somehow they had to find a way to fight about it. My mom got involved in a multi-level marketing company, and as soon as she got into that, that was like her family. Not a very good family to be in. That was the icing on the cake for my parents' relationship. My mom got into that. My mom forgot about us. My mom forgot about my dad. My mom forgot about the kids she raised. My parents split up at the beginning of my 7th grade year. I think that's like 12 years old. I don't know now. 12, and my brother was like 8 years old. I remember I came home. I don't know. It might have been from church, actually, now I remember. I came home, my mom packing stuff into boxes, and all I can remember is me there and my little brother there just crying. And we go up to our room, and we're crying there that our mom's leaving. We didn't really fully comprehend what leaving meant. We didn't know if that meant I'm never going to see her again. She ended up moving 2 miles, maybe less than 2 miles, 2 miles away from our home with a friend. Her being less than 2 miles away, we saw her maybe twice a month. Why? Because she devoted every minute of her life to her current job in this multi-level marketing company. I'm not going to talk bad about it because that's not my business. Well, that was hard. I don't know how long. She was probably out of our house for a good 5 months, maybe longer. In November of 2010, my mother told us she's going to visit her parents in Hawaii. At the time, awesome, cool, go visit your parents. It didn't seem like anything big until she was supposed to come home. We didn't hear a word. We didn't hear a word for 2 to 3 weeks. She gave us a call after that date she was supposed to come back and it said, "Guys, I'm not coming back." "Mom, what do you mean?" "I'm not coming back." As I think back to this moment, where I was, what I was doing, it felt like the whole world stopped. It felt like someone stabbed me in the heart and kept on twisting. My mother didn't care. She couldn't care anything about us at that moment. That hurt. As I explain to you guys this right now, it may have been almost over four years ago. It still hurts. I'm trying to hold myself together right now. It still hurts, and I guarantee it will till the day I die. We were broken. Round one, guys. Round one for this fight that I'm about to fight. This brings me to a verse. A verse that I remember, a verse that I can go back on. Hebrews 2:10. It says, "For it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through their suffering." God chose us. We're made perfect through our struggles. We're made perfect through our pain. How do you think you learn? A little child, if he keeps doing it and his parents keep letting him do it, you think he's going to learn from it? No, he's going to learn from pain and suffering. That's how he's going to learn. God, it's not that God intends for our life to be hell, but it's not going to be perfect. You're going to go through pain, guys. But you got to learn from it. Those next few months, I had hoped that my mother would come back and our family would be like we used to be. Very quickly, I lost that hope. I became angry at her. I hated her. I hated her so much in that moment. I became angry at her, at the world, and ultimately at God. Many nights I would cry myself to sleep, and my dad would try to come in and comfort me. As much as I love my dad, I yearned for the love and comfort of my mother. My mother that was 2,500 miles away. She definitely wasn't 10 steps down the hall. Church became a place that I dreaded. I felt like if God loved me, he wouldn't do this to me. Before I go on, I want to show you a little definition. I was in class, and this is like spur of the moment. Definition of a mother. Listen up, guys. The woman who loves you unconditionally from birth, the one who puts her kids before herself, and the one who you can always count on above everyone else. Just telling her your problems makes you feel better because moms always know how to make it all go away. Even if you fight, know that she's just looking out for your best interests. Where would you be without your mom? I found that, I think, on like Merriam-Webster. So it's a dictionary. It's not on some BS site where someone was just writing. I look at that. That looked like my mother for the first 11, 12 years of my life. Sort of. I look at that now. Not one thing looks like her. Not one part of that. Maybe that she gave birth. Obviously. Like I said, it was just going downhill. We were taking a nosedive straight to the ground. Our whole entire family struggled in efforts to support each other financially. And slowly, we began to lose everything. Everything. Felt like the devil was like standing over our family and our household and picking something out important from us each and every day. And then looking at us cry, ha 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 ha! Until we couldn't afford a house payment anymore. My dad's still in debt of how much we couldn't pay. Barely food anymore. I worked at that time. I was buying most of the food for my family. And I'd help with bills. It wasn't enough. I can't support a five people with a minimum wage job. Six. This forced us to move out. Upon moving out, we had no clue where we were going. Round two, guys. Round two, and this time, I'm pretty beat up. The last resort we had going for us was homeless. We were planning on staying in an old beat-up motorhome parked behind our good friend Steve's rental house. Homeless was never in my vocabulary. I saw the people on the corner. It's very, very, very sad. I never thought that was going to be me. I hated my life. I didn't want to do it anymore. I got bullied at school. And I came home one day and said, Dad, I'd be better off not here anymore. Brings me to my next point. I was in the gym one day. I know I looked miserable. I know I looked hurt. Our leader, Wendell. You guys know Wendell. Please say you know Wendell. He saw me in there. You could clearly tell. I was miserable. I was hurting. And I was lost. He asked, Noah, come here. What's going on? What's going on with your house? Your situation? I said, Wendell, we lost our house. We lost everything. We're done. We're looking at being homeless, Wendell. The very few words he said to me was, have your dad call me. I didn't know what that meant. I just did it. A week or so later, my dad was talking to us and said, well, Wendell and Jamie is Wendell's wife. She's sitting right next to him right now. She offered for my little brother and I to come stay with them until my dad got back on his feet. My facial expression might explain how happy I was at that point. My heart was overwhelmed with thanks. A peace came over me, guys. I felt like a part of my burden just dropped off my shoulders. It completely touched my heart that someone I barely knew. I met Wendell, I don't know, a year before that at a men's retreat. I didn't know him. I hung out with him once when we went to lunch. I didn't know that someone could care about two boys they barely knew so much to let them come into their household where their four beautiful girls live. Since this was only a temporary stay at the time, my dad needed to do his manly duties. He needed to step up and get things straight. Well, the time came where we needed to go. Just like there's a time for everything, guys. Not that they're rude or I thank God for what they did. But there's a time and place for everything. Sadly, our dad wasn't doing good. He still wasn't doing good. He's still trying to get back on his feet. We were scared. Our older brother called us one day, and he said, "Guys, I need you. You guys are going to have to come live with me in San Antonio, Texas." He was the only person we had going for us. We were heartbroken. Heartbroken that we were leaving all of our friends, our church, and the family we had here in California. Round three, you guys. This time I'm pretty beat up. I say worse than round two. Well, hope came through, guys. Hope always comes through, guys. God comes through no matter what. He always will. Please have trust in that, guys. He showed us that he has his hand on this whole situation. And he will take care of us no matter what. When Dale and Jamie called my dad one night, I think I came home from work. And they're sitting there. I'm like, "Oh, crap, what did I do?" Ouch. I remember we're sitting around the table with Jamie, Wendell, me, my brother, and my father. I'm scared I did something. I'm not going to lie. They explained to us, "Guys, we love you. And we're going to let you guys stay here permanently. Permanently be a part of their family." That place was now not a place that I just stayed. At that moment, it became my home. My family is so broken. I had a family again, guys. I'm so, 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 so blessed for that. They will always carry a huge part in my heart of what they did for me and my brother. That's not the end of my story, guys. Since I live there, a lot has happened. Wendell can tell you. It was rough for the first 3 to 4 months. Because I never really had discipline, so it was fun. Wendell has nurtured me in becoming a man of God. I'm not yet a man of God, and I'll always be becoming a better man of God. Jamie has become a mother to me that I yearned for a very, very long time. I am blessed. No matter what I've been through, what God did for me, you can't say there's not a God when stuff like that happens. Someone's controlling that upstairs. They have the biggest hearts, guys. They, like I said a moment ago, they welcomed two boys into their home they barely knew and treated us as their own kid. Nowadays, there's not a lot of people that would do that. They took me in as their son, a son they don't have. They trusted me to move in their four girls. I love them so much. You too, Jamie. Those girls are my favorite. I swear I could, as much as Nayani gets on my nerves because she thinks she's funny, Genesis giving me dirty looks, but always wanted to play with me. Again. She always says, again. I'm so thankful for what they've done. I'm thankful to say God has healed me. He's still working on me. Like he's working in every one of your hearts still, because we'll never be 100% complete, because no one's perfect. I have a lot of work to be done, and I am more than willing to see what God has planned for me. Many of you may ask, what has God done for me through this? Well, there's quite a bit. While I was in this storm, there'll be people in my life that said, it will all be okay, Noah. It will work out for good. In that moment, those were just five little words that people just say just to make you better in the spur of the moment. Because in that moment, I was hurting. In that moment, I was angry. See, God works in mysterious ways. He is a God of restoration. He is a God of reconciliation. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. There was no way I was looking at. I had no way out. There was no light. I did not see a light at the end of the tunnel. You know why? Because in that moment, I didn't rely on God. I was mad at God. He was the last person I wanted to lean on. I hate myself for what I did. I forgive myself because I do not hate. I'm angry at myself for what I did. There's a better wording, guys. A lot of people like to blame what's going on in their life on God because they find him as the only suitable person. But why? Why, God? Why are you going to blame human sin that God died on the cross for us? You're going to blame human beings' mistakes and sins on our Creator? Our society likes to blame God for every tear, but once you smile, you don't thank Him for that? Why? I'm guilty of this. Through this time, I like to blame God for everything that was going wrong. Why not? But it wasn't God's mistake. Through school, like I told you, I was bullied. I have a condition called essential tremors. You may be noticing it as I'm speaking. I don't like telling people this. It took me a lot of courage, and Garrett talked me into it. But it's a part of me. I hate telling people about it. I'm just going to say that right now. And Wendell's laughing because I always talk to him about this. Thank you, Wendell, for breaking the moment. See, I can blame God for this, but he's going to work it out for good. I know that he's going to make me into a success story, just like Hebrews 2:10 says. He says, I'm sorry. I always tell myself, what if I could be just like a normal kid like you guys? What if I could go a day without people looking at me weird? I was talking to Wendell, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and I explained to this, but I just want to be like someone else one day, just one day. He goes, Noah, I hear you. He was in a bad back injury accident when he played football. He goes through constant pain every day. And he explained, Noah, I feel you because I would like to be that person that doesn't go through pain every single day. He was right. God looked to me and says, my son, you are perfect. Just like each and every one of you sitting in this chair tonight, you're perfect. You're unique in your own ways. You're all beautiful people. Psalms 139. Something. There we go. Thank you, Garrett. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We're made perfect, if you guys didn't hear that verse. Fearfully and wonderfully made. We're each and everything. It makes us unique. How boring would it be if we were all the same? Gosh, no. No. To me, that's the coolest thing. He makes us, and he maps out our life for us. He knows that I was going to be up on this stage tonight preaching to you guys. That's awesome. All right, I need to speed it up, I promise. Jeremiah 29:11, guys. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. He's not there to knock you down like the devil is. Devil's already knocked down. Why would you knock you down even more? God is your number one fan. Why do you let the haters control? Oh, does that person like me? Does that person like me? They hate me? Oh, no! I don't care! Isn't it funny that through this sin that we go through, that people like to blame it on God, but this sin nature, the devil takes it and he exploits it. He tries to make it worse, condemn you for it. God died on the cross for us. That sin, once you ask for forgiveness, it's washed clean. The devil likes to bombard you with lies and practices deception. I bought into those lies. During this time, I didn't care. I couldn't feel worse than I already was. God's always going to be there. God's always going to be fighting for you. God's always going to be pulling you right when the devil's trying to pull you left. As long as you let him, God's going to win. Through these rough times you go through, let God be your rock. Let him nurture you and mend you into the man and woman of God you are going to be. And as long as you have open arms for him, he's going to have open arms for you, even though he always will. A big part of this, I explained today, that growing in your maturity in God is prayer. Prayer is the key to success. Just like you cannot run a vehicle without gas, you cannot mature in your faith without prayer. I learned that your prayer should not consist of, I want this God, I want this God, do this God, please God, do this. But Thank God on what he has done for you, what you have in that moment, and what he's going to do for you. Be positive. Gosh, so many people in this world are negative. Imagine how much this world would change if we were positive. Kind of crazy, huh? God's going to work it out. Another one, the Bible. Oh man, the Bible, guys. I could read the Bible more. Everybody could read the Bible more. Most of you are saying, oh gosh, here it goes again about lecturing about this boring book that I always fall asleep when I'm trying to read it. You guys don't have to keep it. I know. I was the same person. I still am sometimes. The Bible is filled with amazing things that God has done and will do. What he's going to do in your life and what you can lean on and know that God's going to work it out. It's filled with amazing encouragement on anything and everything. Please read your Bible. If it doesn't make sense to you, ask a leader. There's so many people in this church. I'm not going to name them off because I'm going to miss some of them and they might feel bad. One person I like to point out, even though I love all my epic leaders and everybody in this church because I've grown up around them, is Kyle Feeble. Guys, Kyle Feeble, he almost made me cry when he was telling me his testimony. He's been through so much, yet look at him. He's the sweetest man, the kindest man, the most forgiving man I probably know. I came to him the night Rebecca was speaking, and I explained, Kyle, everything's going wrong. I feel horrible. I could not explain in words to him what was going on. I was with my mom, my father, a lot of stuff. Somehow he knew what to say. He knew how to encourage me. And I know that I can always go and talk to him. Another person that's been a huge part of my life is Garrett. Garrett came into this church when I was in like the eye of the storm. My mom had just left. And he was always there. I would come to his office or I'd call him crying because I didn't know what to do. There are so many people in this church, elders, youth leaders. I'm sorry, they are so knowledgeable, married or not. There are so many people in this church that know so much. Please talk to them. Pray with them. Believe them. They have so much knowledge. Please take that knowledge and apply it to your life. As I close, it may go farther than as I close, sorry. I'm like Garrett, kind of. Through life, you're going to go through pain. I'm sorry. You're going to go through pain. There's no way around it. You're going to have pain. But through this pain, I have a question. What are you going to do? Are you going to let the world suck you in? Are you going to let God suck you in? Through my story and my stories, this may be the easiest thing I will ever go through. But I don't know that. So, have faith in God. God, man, I have no idea where I'd be without God. I know my mom left. I was doing bad stuff. I'm not going to name it. It was not Christian-like. And I still do stuff that's not Christian-like. Every one of us does stuff that's not Christian-like. Because we're not perfect. And don't let the world try, you're a Christian, you should be perfect. Sorry, dude, no one's perfect. One thing, if you weren't listening at all tonight, that's your deal. But if I could leave you with one thing, when you're going through rough times, please do not ignore it. Please let it out to somebody. I made the mistake of keeping it in my heart. And I come happy to church. Oh, he's funny. He's having a great life. I'm really having a horrible life. Please speak to someone about it. I do promise you one thing. As long as you lean on God, and as long as you let him be your anchor, there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel. You may not see it in that moment. It's coming. Praise God that you're on this earth another beautiful day. I could have been dead in October of last year when I flipped my vehicle being stupid. And as I knew as I'm about to roll that car, I said, God, save me. I was about to be gone. People die so often in the crash I got in. God had a purpose. He has a purpose for every single one of you. No matter what you're going through tonight, what you're going to go through, you have a purpose. Let God use that purpose, please. Let him use you. Listen to him. Please do not ignore him. If I could have the leaders come line up for me, they're going to be here. And like we've done every night, if you need prayer, if you need a shoulder to cry on, I guarantee every single one of them is more than willing to do so. If they weren't, they would not be here. They're here for you guys because they love you. If you could stand with me, I'm going to pray. And once I pray, please don't rush out of here. We're going to In-N-Out today, correct? Don't rush out and get to In-N-Out. Please sit here and meditate on God if you're willing to do so. And if you are brave enough, you should be comfortable with every single leader here. They don't judge. They love you. They don't care what you've done, who you are, what you look like. They look at you as God's child. Bow your heads, please. Dear Lord, thank you for what you've been doing. Thank you for what you're going to do for each and one of my friends, my family out here. Thank you for... I'm sorry, Lord, for what I did to ignore you during my time. Thank you for pulling me back in and saying, no, it's going to be all right. You're amazing. And I know, I pray that when these kids are going through hard times, Lord, that you would let them know it's going to be okay, that they're going to get through it. You would give them the strength to tell people. Let them know what they're going. Give them the strength to turn to you, God. And let them know. Show them the light, God. There's light. There's definitely light. I'm 101% sure. Do this, God. Thank you for what you've done. Bless every one of them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.